University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour two of the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you guys are doing good out there. Staying safe and practicing your social distancing and whatnot, and got the wet wipes, and well, you know the drill. Anyway, great to have you with us, and we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. By the way, this breaking news just coming in, the Democrats have announced they are moving their convention from July to August as a result of the virus. And I'm not quite sure it's going to make that much of a difference on Election Day, but more power to you. Have fun in Milwaukee, folks. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program from the great state of North Carolina, representing the 13th Congressional District, Congressman Ted Budd. Congressman, I hope you're doing good.
Doing well. Great to be with you from the home office studio in the metropolis of Advance, North Carolina.
Ah, so you are, so you're in God's country is what you're trying to tell us, Congressman.
Absolutely. It's great to be here. We don't have the freedoms that we want for the moment, but it's good to be in North Carolina.
You know, I want to ask you about that, because a lot of people around the country are having to stay inside their homes. They're being threatened with fines if they step off of their front lawn. Homes and or businesses, rather, have been shut down by the state governments. A lot of people out there, Congressman, are saying it's feeling like a police state these days.
You know, there's certainly that feeling, but I would encourage people that this is a time when rumors run rampant. So I would really encourage people to go online to their county, to their city websites, to their state websites, and figure out what executive orders and what they're actually saying. Get past all the whereas, which are the justifications, and go right to the therefore parts and see what they're actually saying. Because in the absence of knowledge, people make up rules, and including some otherwise well-intended people on the street for enforcement. Make sure they're actually following the law, and keep a printed copy with you of what the resolutions are actually saying, so you can hold it up and you can say, you know what, they're actually encouraging us to go out for walks. They're actually encouraging us to go play golf or to do our necessary things at the grocery store, at the you know, mechanic shop. And make sure that people really understand that there are a tremendous amount of freedoms that we still do have, and to use them to the fullest. Be safe. Practice your social distancing, wash your hands, keep our elderly folks healthy. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're not making up rules beyond what they actually are now.
Well, let's certainly hope not. I mean, in Memphis, Tennessee, the mayor there, who's a Democrat, that he was telling folks that, you know, don't go to the parks anymore. So they shut down the roads leading to the parks. It's just unbelievable, some of the things that people are doing out there, Congressman.
Well, I don't know. When you see when these mayors and when these folks, when their elections are, often the more draconian rules are coming with those that are Democrats that don't have an election in 2020. And they feel like they can get away with a lot more.
Fair point.
Yeah, their socialistic bent tends to come out right now. Yes, we want everyone to be safe. We want to flatten this curve. We want to get back to normal. We want to reopen the economy. And, of course, we have to get over this the health aspect of this before we can open the economy. But at the same time, let's not destroy things so that when we are healthy, we can come back to a growing economy again.
Well, that is a big concern, Congressman. What, 6.6 million filing for unemployment, 10 million over the past 2 weeks. Do you think a lot of those jobs are going to be able to come back?
I think a lot of them will, in different stages, in different times. It won't be instant. Let's pray that there is a V-shaped recovery, that we are able to rocket back out of this. But the longer we're in it, the longer it will take us to recover. So I hope that we can get over this. You know, the one number that I really like looking at, and it is on the CDC site, there's a lot of data out there, but I like to look at the COVID-19 cases in the United States by the date of illness onset. And that's key. Just look for the date of illness onset and go. And what I'm seeing, the refreshed, the latest numbers, is that this thing is starting to level out. The worst date that we had for people reporting that the illness had started was on March 16th, and it's been at that or less than that number ever since March 16th. So I would encourage people to go and follow that number and kind of cut through a lot of the data clutter that's out there in the sensationalistic news and just look at how many new cases are being reported each day.
I have to wonder, though, Congressman, are we going to do this next year for the common flu when you have thousands and thousands of people who've died and millions of people get infected? I mean, are we going to shut down the economy every time you have a big illness?
Well, how about for heart disease? You know, we lose, 30-some thousand for car accidents. We lose on a bad year, 70,000 from the flu every single year. And it's a great test, you know, if you're on the phone with somebody, ask them if they know someone who died from the flu within the last year or so. And it was about 35,000 in the last 12 months. And the answer is usually no. They don't know anyone. Now, this has such attention drawn to it that, it's on the forefront of everyone's mind, either economically or health-wise. So we're going to pay more attention to this than we did the flu. But so far, number-wise, it's not been as bad as the flu health-wise. But they're keeping it from spreading. Yes, it's not the flu. Yes, it's more damaging to the lower respiratory system. But at the same time, we've got to be careful not to blow this thing out of proportion. Yes, we want to be careful. But at the same time, let's pay attention to what's really going on.
Looking more broadly, I know that you signed on to a letter, that you sent a letter to President Trump and Vice President Pence urging them to reevaluate our relationship with the Chinese. And quite frankly, the World Health Organization, I thought one of the Japanese leaders nailed it. He said that it's not the World Health Organization, it's the Chinese Health Organization.
Well, they've certainly tried to co-opt every single institution of influence. I mean, it's the long march through the institutions. It's our colleges and our universities and the health organizations. And they're even flirted with the idea a few weeks ago about starting their own health organization to replace the WHO. Look, in the, Tom Cotton, Senator Ted Cruz in the Senate were the first on the Senate side to call for a travel ban from China. I was the first one in the U.S. House. This was back in January. The administration was very responsive to this. So I really think that we've been out in front of this, and had the Chinese been honest with us, we could have certainly headed a lot of these problems off.
Yeah, that report from Bloomberg suggesting that the numbers, our intelligence folks say those numbers are not accurate. Do we have any indication of how many people may have died in China?
Not that I would trust. You're going to have to use a triangulation of multiple sources to try to get a good read on the number. But I'd be very, very skeptical from the numbers coming out of there, because they want to use those numbers to advance their agenda. They cracked down hard. I think part of it was even a psychological play to create panic around the world so that China could rein it under control and then start advancing their own pre-corona agenda, which they're certainly wanting to do now. We're reading reports every day saying that their economy is back to 80 to 90 to 100% in some reports. And that's, as they wield influence, they get their nose under the tent, and it's a very, very dangerous country to operate with. I think the president's very smart, but now we've got multiple battles on multiple fronts, including dealing with this coronavirus, by the way, came from them.
No doubt about it. This is a Chinese virus, and they bear responsibility. And I'm with you. I really do hope the president does reconsider that relationship. And more importantly, Congressman, right now, no more stimulus packages. No more. $2 trillion. Unbelievable.
And, the Democrats are already saying they want package number 4. I just sent a letter. It was led by Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona. Some of us in and some outside the Freedom Caucus have signed on to this. And it is saying, hey, if you look at a package number 4, we have got to have spending offsets rather than just new deficit spending. We were okay. It was a very, very imperfect bill, but one necessary that we voice voted for last week. But that was pure deficit spending. And now this is about what James Clyburn did, and that is using this to advance their worldview and their agenda. And we don't want any of that. We want to tighten our belt where we're inefficient and use spending offsets if there's anything new. And by the way, how about we figure out how to implement this $2.2 trillion before we spend any more money?
That's right. Exactly. Congressman, thank you, and be safe out there in North Carolina, and Godspeed to you.
Godspeed to you as well. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Congressman Ted Budd, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, member of the House Freedom Caucus. I'm telling you, folks, I think the bigger story here, and the congressman is right, we've got to reevaluate this relationship with the Chinese. More importantly, we've got to stop relying on other countries for our necessities. And thank goodness for Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. She has been leading the charge to make sure that all of those ingredients for our necessary drugs are no longer made in China. We can't rely on the Chinese for anything. Nothing, ladies and gentlemen. That's just absurd. So, look, we've got to take a break here. We're going to get right back into this, plus your calls. Are you concerned about where this economy is going? Are you a small business owner? We'd love to hear from you to find out how you guys are handling this and what preparations you're making here. You've got the governor of Michigan now saying 70-day quarantine, emergency orders extended. Virginia, 60 days. South Florida, just about the entire country. Almost the entire country now under some sort of a stay-at-home order, at least until April 30th. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
President, a couple of questions, one for you, one for Mr. Wolf, if possible. Over 5 million immigrants in this country do pay taxes through their IT numbers, yet they will not receive any money in their stimulus package. And no undocumented immigrant will receive any aid from the government during this crisis. How do you suppose they survive during the COVID-19?
Well, you know, you're saying undocumented, meaning they came in illegally. And a lot of people would say we have a lot of citizens right now that won't be working. So what are you going to do? It's a tough thing. It's a very sad question. I must be honest with you, but they came in illegally. And we have a lot of people that are citizens of our country that won't be able to have jobs. Now, I do think once we get rid of the virus, I think we're going to have a boom economy. I think it's going to go up rather quickly, maybe very quickly and maybe slowly, but it's going to go up. And it'll all come back. And I think it's actually going to come back stronger than what it was because of the stimulus. But it's a really sad situation, and we are working on it. I will tell you, I'm not going to give you a hard and fast answer because I just want to tell you it's something I think about, and it's something we're working on.
Well, there's the president yesterday. You know, these reporters, they always care about other people. They don't care about Americans, do they?
Mr. President, what are you going to do for the illegals? Because they're not going to get a stimulus package. What is your advice for them, Mr. President?
You know what? I have a suggestion. Why don't they go back to where they came from? And maybe the countries of their origin would be more than happy to take care of them. That is my simple observation here, ladies and gentlemen. And it is not cold-hearted. These people are illegal aliens. They're living in this country by the tens of millions, living off the American taxpayer. And I got to tell you something. Based on those unemployment numbers, there could be a lot of Americans looking for jobs. And you know what? They very well might want to start working out in the fields and harvesting the oranges and all the produce that are out there in California and Florida. The jobs the illegals are doing right now. Those could be jobs that American citizens will be doing very shortly. So the question at hand is now this. 10 million people now unemployed in the past 2 weeks. What about the illegal aliens? Do we allow those people to continue to take jobs away from American citizens? You've got 10 million people out there looking for work. And you better believe those numbers are going to skyrocket next week. But now you've got folks in the mainstream media wanting to protect and take care of the illegals, now at the continued expense of the American people. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Steve listening to us on the great KARN. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Todd, and welcome to the Little Rock area.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
I've got a question, and if anybody out there can give me an example of this, I'd like to hear it. Tell the humankind has been fighting battles against physical enemies, cultural enemies, social enemies, biological enemies through recorded history. Give me one example of any society that ever defeated anything like that by hiding in their houses. You defeat something by outworking it. That's the way the past history of the United States, every enemy, every conflict we've ever had, we won by being able to outwork it. And this is going to be the same way. We can beat this one if we will get back out there and do what Americans do best, use our American work ethic, and we will outwork it. But if we keep trying to hide from it, we'll have about as much luck as the Jewish people had as from hiding from the Holocaust.
Well, what do you mean by that? What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, right now we are trying to defeat this virus by everybody locking themselves down and hiding in their home. It may have minimal effect right now on the spread of the virus, but it's not defeating anything. We're going to defeat it by creating vaccines, by creating herd immunity, by creating treatments and stuff. And that's going to happen after this country gets back to work.
I see. I get your point.
The longer we stayed locked down, the less effective we're going to be at doing any of those things it's going to take to defeat it.
We've got to fight, is what you're saying. We've got to get out there, and we've got to fight.
We've got to fight. And I believe in taking all reasonable precautions we can, versus, you know, destroying our economy. That's not going to help anything. It's our economy, and it's our American work ethic that's going to defeat this thing in the long run.
Steve, let me ask you, what is the situation there in Little Rock? Are a lot of the stores shut down right now?
I live in a rural area north of Little Rock. And what I've observed in the last 2 weeks, the closer you get to a metropolitan area, the more you see the effects from it. The less traffic you see, the more businesses you see shut down, the less people. Where I live and in the rural parts of the state I've been in since this all started, I can't see much difference. It's kind of business as usual. Now, we do have the restaurants that you can't eat in the restaurant, but you can walk in there and order a carry out and take it out and eat it in your truck or eat it in wherever.
And that's the way it is really in just about every other place as well. Hey, Steve, I hate to cut you off, but we got to take a break here, folks. Dalton Glasscock coming up next. You're not going to believe what they're doing with the abortion clinics out in Kansas. It's unbelievable. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. We're going to be taking your calls as well. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. This was a thing, but apparently a lot of you folks are very concerned about the toilet paper issue. And I just don't understand this. It's a respiratory illness, ladies and gentlemen. I just don't get it. This is from Fox 5 in New York. Turns out that a lot of people are trying to figure out how to make their own toilet paper. Following a surge in panic buying that ensued as a result of the mass closures implemented amid the coronavirus pandemic, Google says there has been a spike in people searching for how to make toilet paper. 1,300% increase in the past week.
I keep saying it's an opportunity for the bidet market to take over.
This is a good point. It's a terrific point you bring up there, Caleb. Earlier in March, Amazon appeared to be completely sold out of toilet paper. The company said there would be delays in deliveries. That prompted people to take matters into their own hands, and they're looking for the do-it-yourself toilet paper recipe.
I feel like there are some puns hiding in here, like some very craft, like some very crafty lines that could be written in these articles.
There could be. Unfortunately, I just have to say, the writing on some of these websites and news, not very good, not very creative, a little crappy, if you will, so to speak. All right. Welcome back to the show. 844-747-8868 if you have a good toilet paper recipe. There's a pretty nasty story out of Sedgwick County in Kansas. And the county commission there is asking the governor to ban abortions during the coronavirus pandemic. So, look, this is what gets me. You've got the abortion clinics that are still open. Apparently, those are essential businesses. Meanwhile, they're shutting down the churches and the gun stores and the mom and pop diners. On the newsmaker line, the chief executive officer of Starnes Media Group, and he's also in charge of the Republicans there. He's the head honcho in Sedgwick County, Dalton Glasscock. Hey, Dalton, how's it going?
Hey, Todd, good to talk to you.
Hey, look, before we jump into this, you might want to check. I mean, I don't know if we have a company stock plan, but if we do, we might want to invest in this toilet paper do-it-yourself market.
Been looking at investing in toilet paper, and I'll get back to you on the report later today.
Yeah, please do, because you know it's every dollar counts these days.
Hey, we're open to any new market.
All right, so what's going on here in Wichita? Looks like you guys are really having a big problem here with the with folks coming from out of state to get abortions.
Yeah, unfortunately, while you know the rest of the nation is shut down and the rest of the world is shut down, the abortion industry is working as normal. It's a business as usual for the abortion industry. And while other people are canceling elective surgeries and trying to collect resources to save lives, the abortion industry is keeping on killing children across this country.
And it looks like the county commission there is trying to do something about it. And they're asking, what are they asking of the governor?
So the Sedgwick County Commission is asking the governor to ban abortions during the coronavirus pandemic. So the governor's order supersedes our county order, which prohibited places to stay open and stay closed. And so what we're seeing in Sedgwick County is Oklahoma and Texas has passed similar orders, but coming from their governor. And so you have women coming from Texas and Oklahoma because they can't get abortions there any longer, driving up to Kansas and driving up to Sedgwick County, Kansas to get an abortion. And so you have women from out of state that are coming to our community. We don't know if, if they've contracted the coronavirus. And unfortunately, they're coming to stay at hotels in Wichita and they're being involved in our community. And we don't know if they could get infected in Wichita and then go back home with the virus as well.
Well, that's a fair point. Has there been any response from the governor?
The governor, who is a Democrat, unfortunately, this is why every election matters, every single election. She said that women health clinics were considered essential services and that she would not be closing them.
That's pretty despicable.
It is.
In my estimation. What's been the reaction among the pro-life folks there in Kansas?
I mean, we're furious because this isn't just an issue about protecting unborn children. This is an issue about protecting women and protecting lives of people in our community and outside of the community. This is truly a pro-life issue just beyond, the pro-birth component of it, because this is protecting life across the board. The resources that they're using at the abortion clinic, including PPE, could be used saving lives across this country, but instead they're being used to kill children.
That and that's unacceptable. I didn't even really think about that, but you're right. I mean, those are medical supplies. Those are masks and surgical equipment that could be used in the hospitals.
Yeah, it's showing that, one side of the aisle is very committed to their dangerous and extreme rhetoric. And NBC News just actually wrote a story earlier today that I was looking at. And the title, get this, is Texas Fifth Circuit Abortion Ruling Reveals How the GOP is Using the Coronavirus to Oppress Women.
Oh, good grief.
And that came out earlier today.
What are you doing reading NBC News? Come on. You work for Starnes Media Group.
I know. I'm only What's going to read on? ToddStarnes.com. Only ToddStarnes.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Jeez, Lou. I mean, that's the next thing you're going to tell me. You watch CNN.
Oh, never, never. I would not cross that line, Todd. Jeez, I don't want to be looking for a new job.
Hey, look. Well, look. I think this is. I'm so glad you're raising awareness to this because you're right. I mean, they've got to shut down these clinics. This is not an essential issue, and those medical supplies need to be used in the hospitals. But Dalton, there is another thing. Your governor is kind of creepy. Laura Kelly. This is from WIBW. They were reporting out of Topeka. I guess that's where the state capitol is.
That is, yep.
Beautiful state capitol building. Anyway, I digress. She said in this press conference that they're using GPS tracking on cell phones to determine how much people are moving across the state and how well they are following social distancing guidelines. What the hell is going on there? You guys have like a chip implanted in you or something?
Honestly, you can't make this stuff up. And I mean, this is what happens when you elect extreme Democrats to office, or even just Democrats to office. This is the result. And that's why every election is important and every election matters, because it matters if your government's tracking you, and it matters for protecting life in our communities as well.
Now, you guys have one of those weird states. Kansas, I think it's a pretty conservative state. But for whatever reason, you guys just on a whim will elect Republicans and then you go back to the Democrats. It's just is there something in the water?
Yes, I think there is. Oddly, we have elected more Democrat governors and Republican governors in the history of Kansas. However, we have not sent a Democrat to the United States Senate since 1932. It's the longest held seat by one party in U.S. history.
Well,
so we're
good.
A very unique state, but I love to call it home.
Well, look, it's a great place, and we're glad you're in Memphis, Tennessee, getting things started at KWAM.
I wonder if the governor is tracking me down here.
No, but the mayor probably is. He's not a big fan of mine. Have you noticed that? So might want to do the speed limit.
That's your fault. Hey, now I'm going to.
Hey, I want to ask you a question here, Dalton, since we have you on the Newsmaker line. I'm putting you on the spot. You're on national radio right now.
This is scary. I don't know if I want this, Todd.
Now, we were talking about this yesterday. Now, you know call screener Avery, a good and decent church-going young man.
Yeah.
And then we have Caleb, who is Caleb. I said that the wrong way. It implies that you're not a good church going.
No, I'm interested now to hear where this goes.
So then I have Caleb, our pagan. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Hey, I usually get that title, Todd. And
the godless heathen.
We were talking about this yesterday on the show about how the virus, the pandemic, is really causing people to people are growing their hair out because the barbershops are closed. And the experts are saying that long hair and beards may be back in style by summertime. What say you?
Well, I have a beard, so I'm succeeding there. I don't know if it's company policy if I can have, you know, a man bun with a ponytail at the top. So we may have to reevaluate policy.
Okay, I will just say this right now, and you can just call our HR department. Yeah, we will not employ people with man buns.
What about the Tiger King hairdo?
Yeah, what about a mullet, Todd?
No mullets. If a mullet, I'm sorry, but a mullet is like the poster child for abstinence.
I don't have any words.
Have you seen Tiger King by any chance?
I watched all 7 episodes in one day.
Is that right?
It's addicting.
What shocks me, there are a lot of shocking parts about that, and we can save this for another episode here. For me, the animal rights people I thought were creepier than the actual, you know, the guy who got thrown, you know, what's his name? Joe Exotic. Is that his name?
Joe Exotic. Yeah. Carol has this weird resemblance to Hillary Clinton. And I think that I couldn't get beyond that.
Wow. Didn't see that coming. But you know what? You're right. Now that you think, you know, now that I think about it, you may be right there.
It is. I would encourage, you know, your listeners make that decision, but she's Hillary Clinton in disguise.
Hey, Caleb, let's bring in Greg from North Little Rock, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. He wants to talk about toilet paper buying. Greg, you're on the air with Dalton Glasscock and Todd Starnes here. How's it going today?
Mr. Starnes, it's been a pleasure to listen to you. I've only listened to you a few times over the years. I pretty much stay, you know, local here, and you know, whatever they put on our radio station for, you know, Kilometre and Rush and Doc and, you know, Kevin Miller in the morning and the Red Eye Radio.
It's a good, you know, it's a good radio station. I got to tell you that I was a big Rush fan, and you know when they said Starnes, we need you to do a show from noon to three. I'm like, well, how am I going to listen to Rush? And so I listen to Rush on the podcast now.
I hear you. I do as well. But I just want to let you know, I've had the pleasure to visit two different hospitals here in North Little Rock last night because my wife was making, you know, fried chicken, and she burnt her legs real bad, or her feet, because the pan broke, and I had to go to one. I couldn't go in, so I spent, you know, hours, you know, pacing the pavement, but I went to the next one this morning, and then as we was on our way back, I stopped at the pharmacy to put her prescription in.
Okay.
And I saw that they had toilet paper out. So I went over there and I grabbed a little 4-pack of the Angel Soft.
Well, that's good.
And there was a young, yes, it is. It is. And there was a young lady over there. She had probably about, you know, 10 packs or more. She was still loading up her basket. And I looked at her. I said, young lady, I said, you know, they make toilet paper right here in the United States and Mexico. So we ain't never going to run out. But I got a question. Are you going to use more are you going to wipe your backside more when you're sick, or are you going to wipe your backside more when you're not sick? And why do you need so much?
What did she tell you?
And she cussed me out sideways. Oh, I can't tell you what she said to me.
It's all right. She was cussing like a Methodist, is what you're saying.
So far, and I was just, I couldn't help but laugh. And I figured, I heard that comment a couple of callers ago about the soul paper. I figured I'd give you a good laugh, too, brother.
Greg, I like you. That's brilliant. Good for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to ask the questions that need to be asked.
Well, no, and my wife, yeah, I've been married to her for 25 years almost, and probably another 75 to 100 years as long as she don't kill me first. But I'm telling you, yeah, I get some words from my wife every once in a while. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, this lady, she made me blush. She could make a sailor blush.
Well, look, Greg, what a great call. We got to cut it short because I've got to take a break. Dalton, you don't go anywhere because I want to finish talking to you after the news break. Greg, hang tight. We're going to get you a little prize package in the mail. Welcome to the show. Give us a call back sometime. Jeez, Alou. All right, folks, we'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Well, great to have you with us. Greg, Greg is he's a character out there in North Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm not sure I would have had the courage to just go up to somebody and ask them why they were hoarding toilet paper, but who knows?
PETA hat on, you might, Todd.
What's that now?
If they had a PETA hat on, you might.
Oh, well, if it was a PETA hat, I definitely would. Ladies and gentlemen, Dalton Glasscock, who is the chief executive. You're the boss of Starnes Media Group.
We'll go with that. We'll go with that title.
Mm-hmm.
Just the
All
boss.
Right. All right. Well, folks, it's sort of a crazy time in America, and we try to have a little bit of fun on the show whenever we can, and we're going to have to kind of laugh our way through a lot of the serious stuff. And Dalton, I am curious. You have just moved to Memphis, Tennessee. I know that you tried to go. You have a dog. Tell us about your dog.
Her name's Astra. So the Kansas State motto is Ad Astra per Aspera, which means to the stars through difficulty. Very applicable right now. So her name means stars. She is a sweetheart and loves every person she meets. So she loved road tripping over the four states to get here last week.
So you're taking the dog out for a walk. You're a big jogger. You like the exercise stuff. What happened there? Because we know the mayor's been shutting down a lot of the parks.
Yes, I've been trying to run along the river, and yesterday, to my surprise, the park was shut down. Now, people were still walking and running, but for the park to get any cars toward the area was shut down, and so he blocked off the roads yesterday.
He blocked off the road, literally blocked off the roads.
Blocked off the roads. Photos to prove.
Well, we do have those pictures up on our Twitter page, and folks, you can access that at toddstarns.com. What about the restaurants and the grocery stores? Have you noticed, no one has the dine-in service there in Memphis.
No, I'm trying to try, you know, some new Memphis food. And so I went to a barbecue place the other day, did take out. They're very grateful that people were coming in. And yesterday I went down to a Mexican restaurant and brought some food back home too. And it's empty. There's a lot of people using Uber Eats.
Any Chinese restaurants?
I'll add that to the list tonight.
Okay. Just curious. you're regretting this call, aren't you, Dalton?
I should have hung up while I had the chance during the break.
I'm sensing a vibe. Yeah, you can't hang up. It's national radio. Caleb, you have any requests? Do you want to raise or anything? This is the guy to talk to.
Yeah, I tell you what, Dalton, while we're here, how about maybe another couple dollars an hour and maybe
HR
some more,
issues?
You know. Yeah, you know.
I'll pass it through the bureaucracy and see what we can do.
The bureaucracy? You're the boss, aren't you?
We still have a bureaucracy. Nobody's the true boss.
I don't know. I mean, do you have any complaints about Avery, the call screener, Caleb? Anything you want to get off your chest? Now's the time to do it.
Well, we've only got 30 seconds in this segment, and that's not nearly enough time.
All right. Well, Dalton Glasscock, the chief executive officer of Starz Media Group, just a great American patriot, too. Dalton, it's a blessing to have you on the staff with us, and thanks for keeping folks informed about what's been happening back in Kansas.
Well, thanks for allowing me a part of the Starz community.
So. All right. Dalton Glasscock, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, coming up in the next hour of the show, Jesse Kelly from KTRH in Houston, Texas. This guy is a rock star. He's a Marine veteran. He's very concerned about the economy. We're going to talk to him. Dan Celia, who's a great financial expert, going to be taking your questions. And Sarah Carter, one of the top investigative journalists in America. She's going to be here as well. A lot going on in the next hour. ToddStarz.com is our website. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.